Thank you, Denise. Okay, I'll start with Trustee Johnson this time. Do you have any questions or comments for staff?
I do not. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Tutt? Sorry, Trustee Tutt, you might be on mute.
Sorry about that. No questions.
Thank you. Trustee Buck?
No questions. Just thank you to Denise for bringing this information to us tonight.
And Trustee Galindo?
I also don't have questions at this point. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you to staff again for the overview. It was very clearly done. I do have one question for historical context. I believe last term we often had a contingency of $2 million built into the budget, but we shifted to a $1 million contingency, I think, last year or the year before. Can you just comment on that, maybe Associate Director Zucker?
Sure. Thank you, and through the chair. You're correct. We did have $2 million up until the year that we're currently in right now, and we reduced it to $1 million. And when we constructed the administration center, we actually borrowed $10 million from our surplus in order to fund the construction. And we got permission to do that from the ministry. Part of the conditions that the ministry provided us
joined
was that we would have to be able to pay that $10 million back. They gave us a time period, and it was 5 years, so $2 million a year. So basically, we set that $2 million aside in the contingency, and then when we didn't use it, we were able to apply it to our accumulated surplus. So happy to report that we are over $11 million now for our accumulated surplus, so we've paid everything back that we had to, and that's why we were able to reduce it to $1 million.
Great. Thank you for clarifying that. Did just hear someone join us. If it's a trustee, do you mind letting me know who you are? Okay, hearing nothing, we'll move along to the next section. Back to you, Denise.
Thank you, Dawn. Through the chair, we're going to go through a few of the key budget changes, and this relates to staffing. So you can either look at your Appendix E staffing chart for the totals, or the total staffing is at the bottom of the presentation, but I will go through each area of significant changes in staffing. Again, all of this has been brought to you at various times over the last month and a half. So elementary teachers. In total, we have an increase of 54.6 teachers over last year's budget. A large portion of this is due to increased enrollment. Again, as I did mention, over half of that enrollment was experienced in the fall of 2019. So over half of these teachers are already in place in the 19-20 school year due to restaffing in September. So we have increases due to increased enrollment. Last year we did add a contingency to the elementary panel, which has been taken out of the current year's budget. As we discussed earlier, there was a reduction this year in special class teachers as many of the students have moved from the elementary to the secondary panel. We have a reduction in our math facilitators, due to the uncertainty of PPF funding, which is, we have not received any information on PPF funding, so all staffing related to that has been removed from the current year budget. So the math facilitators have been removed at this point in time. We have an additional corrections care and treatment center teacher, which is a movement from a secondary panel to an elementary panel, provided ministry approval is received. If that approval is not received, that teacher will return to the secondary panel. We added an additional system learning resource teacher and an additional 16.6 staff
from the Support for Students Fund. So that is the new former local priorities renamed Support for Students Fund. So an additional 16.6 staff. Discussions are still going on with Weddle for the how that staff will be allocated, but we do know that some of this staff will go to special education and other unique learning needs. So in total, an increase of 54.6 staff. Secondary, we have an increase of 5.14 staff. And again, we have a little bit of increase due to increased secondary enrollment. Again, there is a reduction due to unknown PPF funding. So in the case of secondary teachers, we did have five teachers in 1920 that were funded from PPF that were not quite sure whether they will be funded again this year until the release of the information. As you recall, last year we added 11 teachers to the budget by motion of the trustees to add to support student course enrollment. So that has come out of the budget. However, at a motion earlier in May, the trustees agreed to add an additional three teachers to the secondary panel for the contingency to support student course selection. So in total, it's a net reduction of eight. We do have special class teachers. We added three additional classes plus prep time and an additional system alert as students move from elementary to the secondary panel. And again, with the Support for Student Fund, we have 7.33 secondary staff being added to the secondary panel. And again, those decisions are to be finalized, but there will be some support for special education and student success through this allocation. If we look at slide 3-35, when we look at early childhood educators, we did increase them by four FTE in order to meet class size requirements and enrollment increases. In slide 3.36, when you look at educational assistance, we have added at this point 3.0 FTE, which is a combination of educational assistance and child and youth care practitioners. One thing to note that we have received additional funds, approximately just under $1.2 million, which will add through the Support for Students Fund, which was the negotiated fund through the central agreements, and it'll add additional staffing of both educational assistants and child and youth care practitioners to the budget once the determination is made as to what combination of the staffing will be added. Professionals and paraprofessionals, the entire reduction is due to the uncertainty of PPF funding. So part of the reduction, and we did talk about this earlier in May, is for mental health workers, the new graduation coach that was funded for the first time this year, a reduction because we have not yet received confirmation from the City of Hamilton on whether they will be funding the DECE for the parenting class at Bernie Custis, and a social worker that was provided through School Mental Health Ontario. So that is the entire 6.8 reduction. Please note there is additional funding for OSSTF education workers through the Support for Students Fund. These education workers are a combination of PSST staff and OCTU staff, and so there may be an additional allocation once decisions have been finalized between the unions and exec council on how to allocate this
funding, so there may be an additional professional and paraprofessional staff through PSSD added to this area in the near future. When we look at principals and vice principals, as you recall earlier, we did have a reduction due to school closure when we consolidated Beverly Central and Dr. Seaton into the new Rockton, so there would be a reduction of one vice principal for the elementary panel. However, we did add an additional elementary vice principal to the mix in order to balance the funding. So as I mentioned earlier, the school foundation grant, we like to make sure that our expenditures balance our revenue received. So that allowed us to add an additional elementary vice principal so that there is a net reduction of zero. School office administration, there are increases and decreases due to school opening and closure. Then we did have a reduction of 4.5 staff brought earlier to you in order to balance the school office administration funding similar to the principal vice principal. So we have net decrease in office administration of 3.5 FTE. Again, as mentioned with the professionals and paraprofessional staffing, we did receive additional funds in total $573 million. For OSSTF educational workers, and some of that funding may be allocated to office administration, and this funding is from the Support for Students Fund, so decisions on that are still pending. Consultants, system principals, and support staff, we did have a reduction of a half of a consultant, which was funded through School Mental Health Ontario, which was the principal hired in for second semester. When we go to slide 3-41, for caretaking and maintenance staff, our supports for student funding allowed us to add an additional FTE to the complement, 9 being caretaking staff in our schools and 1 being maintenance. Our final are the additional budget changes. We did add the Indigenous Student Trustee. We have a slight reduction in board administration, and which is due to a temporary assignment, and we do have a reduction in facilities management due to a retirement. So when you look at slides 3-43 and 44, you do see the entire staffing complement for the board. We have $5,274.25 staff in next year's budget, which is up 65.5 approximately staff over last year's budget. And the information above hopefully explains why some of those changes, some or all of those changes have occurred. At this point, I will pause and see if there's any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll start with Trustee Tutt.
No questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Buck?
Yes, I do have a question. The principle that we received extra funding from School Mental Health Ontario, do we know, is that continuing in the fall, that program?
Go ahead.
So I can start, and then Denise can add. So we haven't heard confirmation of our PPS yet, although we did hear, and Manny mentioned in the trustee information session today, that they would be forthcoming and that mental health is a priority. So if I were a guessing person, I would say that we will be receiving the funding again and therefore be able to fund those positions. We just don't have confirmation, so currently they're not in the budget.
Thank you. Trustee Buck?
If we were not to receive that funding, is that something that we could maybe as trustees direct staff towards doing? Because there was a lot of value in that. We did that information session. I think it was in January, it might have been February, and there's just, there's a lot of value that that position was adding, and one that I would even see a lot of benefit to our board if we were to make it a full-time position.
I'll turn to staff.
Yeah, thank you, and through the chair, yes, it is the discretion of trustees to be able to make those kind of budget decisions. Absolutely. So what I would say is it's something that we can track, and if we don't receive that funding, we could bring it back in the fall. And that could be where when we look at our things that we're looking at adding, if we have additional funding, that we could add to that as well.
Trustee Buck?
Okay, well, that is something that I would be interested in pursuing. Yeah, like I said before, there's a lot of value that that position was adding, and we were going about doing things in a different way. I can't remember all the details off the top of my head, but yeah, if this wasn't something that we got funding for, I'll be bringing something forward in the fall then. Thank you. No further questions.
Thank you. Can you just clarify, Associate Director Zucker, when we do receive the GSM and confirmation of the PPF funding, I recognize that this doesn't come back to trustees if the motion passes as it stands, unless it's a significant change, but how might trustees be updated on confirmation of funds?
Thank you, and through the chair, we will be bringing back an update in the fall just to let trustees know exactly where it landed so that they are aware. And again, if there were significant changes, we'd bring it back earlier. If trustees are looking for confirmation earlier, it can even go out to a director's update through email this summer once we have the information.
Thank you. Let's see. Who did I start with this time? Trustee Galindo?
Yeah, thank you. Trustee Danko, I was actually hoping to get some clarification on something that is found on slide 3-37 under key budget changes. I guess that's the title for all the slides, but number 37, the net decrease in professional and paraprofessional staff, 6.80. I guess, can I get more clarification on that? My understanding was, I forget the title of one of the positions. It was a DECD position of someone that would have been posted at Bernie Custis Secondary. Did I hear that right, that it's funded by the City of Hamilton, but that staff would be under our payroll?
Yes, through the chair, over the last couple of years, it started at Sir John A. McDonald, and there is a parenting class. And the city funds a early childhood educator to support the classroom. We have not yet, and that once with the closure of Sir John A. McDonald, that class moved to Bernie Custis. As of yet, we have not received confirmation from the city. It is in the works. My understanding is it is 95% confirmed. We just haven't got the information yet from the city. So yes, that position as of yet currently is out of the budget due to not receiving confirmation similar to the other non-GSM funding positions.
So just to further expand on that, it's a parenting class that is, I guess, operated by the school board but funded by the City of Hamilton. Is that a correct assumption?
Through the chair, the board pays for the teacher and the supplies and other things in the classroom, and the city in partnership with us provides funding for the DECE.
Perfect. Just a few more follow-up questions. I'm so sorry. Do we know if that's something through Hamilton Public Health Services, or is that through a different branch in the City of Hamilton, probably Community Emergency Services? Wondering if you know off the top of your head.
Through the chair, off the top of my head, I'm not sure what the branch is, but it's the branch that is responsible for child care across the municipality.
Perfect. Last question. Do we know of any other examples of positions elsewhere in the board that are funded by the City of Hamilton, or is this the only one?
Through the chair, this is the only one. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Trustee Galindo. Okay, so moving along, I do just want to check in on the timing for the student support funds, recognizing there are different requirements depending on which group has negotiated those funds through the collective bargaining, how it's allocated. But do we have an idea of when the allocation of those funds for different groups will be confirmed?
Go ahead, Stacey. It's yours. So thank you, and through the chair. We are working very closely with unions right now, and I would say that we are very close to being able to provide the exact allocation of each of these the grants. And it is an important infusion into the board because it does support special education and mental health. So I would say definitely before September. In the instances where we have to have, there are some union groups that have to have a local agreement ratified in order to be able to add those positions. So those would be the only ones where we'd actually have to wait for something to happen. In other instances, as soon as we finalize the positions, we will be able to start hiring for them. And I hope everybody enjoys the birds.
Great. Thank you for that information, and it certainly is a welcome increase in funding. Like you said, it's focused on mental health, special education, so I know we will welcome that as a board. Okay, moving along to what's next. I guess I'm back to you, Denise.
No, through the chair. We're back.
Okay.
Thank you, through the chair. We're at slide 3.45. So again, thank you everybody for your patience. It's a lot of information. And the good thing is that because we meet regularly and chunk it up, there shouldn't be anything new that you're seeing today. In fact, we've talked about all of this before. So this is a culmination of all the work that we've done at Finance and Facilities over the last few months. So, again, thank you for all your hard work, and thank you to Denise for presenting it and putting it together. The last slide that we're looking at is the capital budget. And, again, this is separate from the operating budget. So on top of the $587 million that we will be spending on operating, we do have a capital budget here as well. So the way that we produce our capital budget each year is to work with Dave and his team to say, these are all the capital projects that we have in place. If everything goes smoothly, if we get regulatory approvals, if there are no pauses in construction for any reason, this is approximately the percentage of the projects that we will pay for in the 2021 school year. So it's not how much the projects are. It's not, and if you went back and added up, say, collegiate is a good example, we expected to do a significant portion of the collegiate work in the 1920 school year. So if you went to the 1920 capital budget, you would see that most of collegiate is accounted for in 1920. Because of delays in approvals, most of the construction for collegiate will actually happen in the 2021 school year. So it's not that we're spending whatever we said in 1920 and then spending it again in 2021. This is our best estimate at this time, how much we will spend on those individual projects for the 2020-21 school year. So I hope that helps to explain it. The capital budget includes all of the significant capital projects from the ministry that we have in process and that we expect to have in process over the next school year. It also includes all of the benchmark and the renewal and the school renewal that we receive from the ministry. So in total, you'll see that we expect to spend about 62.3
$1 million next year in capital. And again, that is our best estimate at this time as to what we will spend on those individual projects based on our construction plan if there are no hiccups along the way.
Thank you. So, you wanted to pause here for questions?
Yeah, I think so, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I'll start with Trustee Tutt.
No question. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Buck?
I have no questions. Thank you.
Trustee Galindo?
No questions. Thank you.
And Trustee Johnstone?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay, thank you. So we'll move along to next steps.
Great, and thank you, and through the chair. Next steps, usually at the end of the budget presentation, will be staff will finalize and we will submit the budget after it's been approved. Obviously, in these circumstances, we have a few additional next steps, and so we do have to receive the GSN and the PPF and recalculate. That will determine if we need to come back to trustees, if we have additional funding, if we have less funding than we expected, and then what we have to do with that. Then staff will also be able to prepare the EFIS forms and submit them to the ministry before the deadline. We do have to finalize, as we said, the student support fund allocations and add them in certain cases to the budget. In some instances, as Senior Manager Dawson said, for example, COPE, when we have about $1.2 million to allocate, those would be, you know, upwards of 20 new positions in either EAs or CYCPs that we would be expecting to add to the budget, and it's just a matter of finalizing those. So it is a good news story, and I think it's something that we definitely don't want to lose as part of when we look at especially the staffing and the additions to staffing. There are more significant increases that we should be celebrating, so I think it will be important for us to celebrate them at the time that we are able, because, again, especially considering the areas of mental health and special education and indigenous education, those are areas that we want to celebrate adding additional support to the board. If you look at the next slide, this is part of the motion, and so if the actual GSN, when we recalculate, is more than what we estimated it, what we're suggesting is that we add it to the contingency, and that we would use that additional funding to support one of four things, whether it's equity and delivery issues related to COVID-19. As trustees know and staff knows, we still don't 100% know what September is going to look like, what the cost associated with either equity issues or delivery issues related to COVID will look like. And so to have additional funding there to help us would be beneficial for the board. Also, we don't have yet the final report from the blaming panel, and so there will be recommendations that come out of that that may have some costs attached to them, and we would be able to use the funding and the additional funding to support those costs. As we talked about earlier, last year we added 11 positions. This year we added 3, and we do feel that with the work that we're doing with our secondary schools and the scheduling that we're doing, that we should be okay. But in instances where we do need to add additional lines to schools to make sure that courses stay open, this funding would allow us to do that. And then the last bullet is special education, and obviously that's a very broad area, and it could be anything from adding additional supports for students to additional EAs if that were the recommendations that would come from the special education or specialized services department. So we would use that additional funding to support these four areas, and we would bring back an update to trustees in the fall to say, we estimated it was going to be 587.2. It's going to be 587.3, so we have an additional $100,000, and it went into the contingency, and here's how we plan on spending it. So that would be the expectation that of the report that we would bring back to trustees in the fall. In the instance where the actual GSN is, when we recalculate, is less than estimated, and now I'm looking at slide 48, we would reduce our contingency. And I wouldn't bet everything on this, but we've always been conservative in preparing our grant estimates. So we feel that it would be an unlikely scenario that we would be in a position where the GSN is less than we've estimated. We expect to be in a position on the first slide where we will, when we recalculate, we'll have a little bit more than we had expected. So this would be a possibility, but it would be an unlikely situation. And then the last slide, if there are significant changes to the GSN and that we are not able to either absorb it through the contingency, if it's greater than $1 million, or if it will cause some financial hardship to the board, or if it comes back the other way around and there's additional funding that we've received that we have to decide what to do with it, then we would bring back the trustees as soon as possible. And because the deadline for the budget will likely be by the end of the summer, we would have to reconvene over the summer months. So again, based on the information that we're hearing from the ministry and that this is a status quo budget, we think that this would be an unlikely scenario. But again, if it is significant, then this is what we will do. So those are what the motions, the additional motions that are in the report are intended to do, is to say, if there's a little bit more money, we're going to add to the contingency. We'll use it in those four areas. If there's a little bit less money, we'll reduce our contingency. And if the change is significant, we'll have to bring it back to trustees to decide what our next steps are. So with that, I'd just like, again, to thank trustees and to thank staff for all the work that they put into this over the last, I'm going to say, 6 months when we start looking at the budget and moving it forward. This really is the culmination of all that hard work. And we're hopeful that even though we don't have the final GSN yet, that trustees will have made the decisions that they need to support the strategic directions of the board, and that staff will just have to put the information together once they receive it. So thank you.
Thank you very much. So thank you for summarizing the recommended actions. So I will direct trustees back to our report on page 3-1 in the Finance and Facilities package, and you'll see that the motion is listed out as four separate items that were just summarized by the Associate Director. So at this time, we'll go to any final questions relating to the motion, the action item that's recommended, and any outstanding questions that you have about the presentation tonight, starting with Trustee Buck.
I have no questions.
Thank you. Trustee Galindo.
Thank you, Trustee Danko. There's a lot of observations that I've made since this budgeting process begun and since we approved last year's budget. I thought that last year's budget was as tough as it could get, but obviously I was wrong. And I think it's fair to say that this year's budget was probably one of the more challenging budgets that our staff has had to develop and work through in recent memory. So for that reason, I want to say thank you to the staff, to Stacey, Denise, and everyone who's been involved in the budget process. I acknowledge how challenging it can be under the circumstances, under these unprecedented circumstances, and especially when there isn't a precedent that we could look to in the past for how to cope with these circumstances. So ultimately, just my big thanks to everyone. I'm happy to see how far we've come, and I couldn't ask for better staff, I guess, is my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Galindo. Trustee Johnston?
I echo everything that Trustee Galindo just said. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Tutt. Trustee Tutt, do we still have you with us? Okay, I'm not hearing from Trustee Tutt. Feel free to jump in if you are with us and just need to unmute. I would like to also echo the thanks to Stacy, to Denise and her team, to Dave and his team, to Gail and Mark, who have been with us through all of our meetings. The commitment, the amount of work that has gone into the budget process this year, your ability to present this to us in a really comprehensive but manageable way is so helpful and really gives us confidence in moving forward with budget approval in principle, which is what we're looking at today. I do want to thank the committee members as well. You've been very committed. You've had key questions that are really important to drive this process forward and to help make sure that we're focused on our strategic direction. So all around, thank you to everyone for the hard work and commitment that you've shown throughout this process. At this time, I will look for a vote on the recommended action on 3-1. I guess I'll read through it. Number one, that the board approve the 2020-2021 operating budget expenditures in the amount of $587,044,056 million. And that the Associate Director of Support Services and Treasurer be authorized to proceed with the expenditure of funds as outlined in Appendix C, dated June 9th, 2020. Item 2, that the Board approve the 2021 capital budget expenditures in the amount of $105,864,274, and that the Associate Director of Support Services and Treasurer be authorized to proceed with the expenditure of funds as outlined in Appendix B, dated June 9, 2020. The Associate Director of Support Services and Treasurer is further authorized to secure short-term financing for project expenditures until such time as permanent funding is secured, if required. Item 3, once the Grant for Student Needs, or GSN, has been determined, the final board review, or have determined the final board revenue for the 2020-2021 budget, any additional revenue will be placed in contingency to support equity or delivery expenditures related to COVID-19, special education, secondary pathways, and bullying panel recommendations. If the GSN revenue is less than the revenue as presented in the 2020-2021 budget, the difference will be reduced from the contingency. An update will be provided to trustees in fall 2020. And item 4, once the final GSN revenue has been determined, if the difference is greater than $1 million and has a significant impact on the 2020 or 2021 budget, a report will be brought back to trustees as soon as an Emergency Finance and Facilities Committee and board meeting can be convened. So on the recommended actions that I just read through, is anyone opposed? Okay, hearing no one, the recommended action passes, and I believe that is with Trustee Tutt having left the meeting. If you are here, please let me know, Trustee Tutt. With that, we did not have any questions that emerged that would require us to go into committee of the whole private session, so we will not be doing that, and that leads us to our adjournment today, item number 5. Motion to adjourn, moved by Trustee Galindo. Last chance for comments or questions. I'll just go through the roll call. Trustee Buck?
None, thank you.
Trustee Galindo?
No questions, thank you.
Trustee Johnstone?
No questions.
And just again checking, Trustee Tutt, are you with us?
I am, no questions, thank you.
Oh, you are. Sorry, Trustee Tutt, can you just confirm, were you here with us for the vote, since it was a negative vote?
I was.
Okay, wonderful, thank you. With that, we are adjourning, and we will see this come to trustees at the board 22nd, or the June 22nd board meeting for approval. Thank you again to everyone, and have a great night.